भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततोज्जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशाम् एष पुराणार्को दुनोदितः ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् की जय. This is Canto 4, Chapters 27, describing the attack by Chandavega on the city of Puranjana. And today's text is number 28. So please repeat after me. Maya nirupitaha tubhyam patihi atma samadhina na abhinandati lokaha ayam tvam abhadram asammatam. Maya nirupitastubhyam patiratma samadhina nabhinandati lokoyam tvam abhadram asammatam. Maya nirupitastubhyam patiratma samadhina nabhinandati lokoyam tvam abhadram asammatam. Maya nirupitastubhyam patiratma samadhina nabhinandati lokoyam tvam abhadram asammatam. Maya nirupitastubhyam patiratma samadhina nabhinandati lokoyam tvam abhadram asammatam. Maya nirupitastubhyam patiratma samadhina nabhinandati lokoyam tvam abhadram asammatam. Maya, by me, nirupitaha, settled Tubhyam, for you. Patihi, husband. Atma, of the mind. Samadhina, by meditation. Na, never. Abhinandati, welcome. Lokaha, the people. Ayam, these. Twam, you. Abhadram, inauspicious. Asammatam, unacceptable. Translation. The king of the Yavanas replied, after much consideration, I have arrived at a husband for you. Actually, as far as everyone is concerned, you are inauspicious and mischievous. Since no one likes you, how can anyone accept you as his wife? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Or we should respond, please, after me. The king of the Yavanas replied, after much consideration, I have arrived at a husband for you. Actually, as far as everyone is concerned, you are inauspicious and mischievous. Since no one likes you, how can anyone accept you as his wife? Purport. After much consideration, the king of the Yavanas decided to make the best use of a bad bargain. Kalakanya was a bad bargain, and no one liked her. But everything can be used for the service of the Lord. Thus, the king of the Yavanas tried to utilize her for some purpose. The purpose has already been explained, that is, Kalakanya as Jara, the invalidity of old age, can be used to arouse a sense of fear in people so that they will prepare for their next life by engaging in Krishna consciousness. Just to remind you, the day before yesterday we heard, after hearing the statement of Kalakanya, the daughter of time, the king of the Yavanas began to smile and devise a means for executing his confidential duty on behalf of Providence. He then addressed Kalakanya as follows, and he said, the king of the Yavanas replied, after much consideration, I have arrived at a husband for you. Actually, as far as everyone is concerned, you are inauspicious and mischievous. Since no one likes you, how can anyone accept you as his wife? So, we don't really get the answer right away, who she is to marry. There are a few things we can say nonetheless, and a few things various acharyas have said on this verse nonetheless. Number one, we have tubhyam means you. Patir, pati means husband. It also means Lord, as you know. Atma samadhina. Different acharyas have said different things about this. It is Sridhar Swami says, atma samadhina means jnana drishya, by the vision of knowledge. When we speak in terms of spiritual life, it's understood that we should perceive things in terms of what we call jnana chakshu, or the eyes of knowledge, or shastra chakshu, the eyes of knowledge. So that's the same idea. Jnana drishti means the same thing, the eyes of knowledge. It's interesting, there are three acharyas that have made some comment on this particular term, and they seem to indicate, respectively, Brahman realization, Paramatma realization, and Bhagavan realization. So Sridhar Swami has spoken in the most general terms, jnana drishtya, by the vision of knowledge, because it's understood the culmination of all jnana, is Brahman realization. Even if one is a jnani in the mundane world, his knowledge will approach. As he becomes ripened in knowledge and as he amasses a great amount of knowledge, he will approach Brahman realization. And in the empiric sciences, the culmination of that process is basically physics. And we find that many physicists, when they are mature, they begin to inquire about spiritual life and become a little bit soft on theism. So that indicates that actually all knowledge, but in particular spiritual knowledge, culminates in realization of the self, realization of spirit. Understanding the nature of spirit and understanding our identity with that spirit. This is called Brahman realization. And it acts as the substrate of bhakti. It acts as the ground in which we can cultivate bhakti, as Krishna says in chapter 18 of Bhagavad Gita. Anybody know the verse? Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. Mad Bhaktim Labhate, Krishna says. At that point, when he has the Brahma Bhuta Gyan, he becomes my devotee. So this is Sridhar Swami says, Jnana Drishti. This Atma Samadhi actually means Jnana Drishti. Now, Veera Raghavacharya, he's a Sri Vaishnava, follower of Ramanujacharya, he has commented that it means Chitta Aika Agra, he says. Means to fix one's mind in focused effort. Dhyan, samadhi, to fix one's mind, to focus. There's a great value in this because we can see if you go outside on a sunny day and take a magnifying glass, all you have to do is focus the sun's rays, which are everywhere, on one particular spot, and you can burn down half of Southern California, as happened last summer. It's power, focus. And devotees Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on chapter 2 of the Bhagavad Gita, he advises, what should we focus on? We should focus on the lotus feet of our spiritual master, as we sing every day. It's an interesting thing, this tradition that we have, Prabhupada has established. In Gaudiya Math, they don't do Guru Puja every day. They do it once a year on Guru Purnima, called Vyasa Purnima. Srila Prabhupada saw fit to establish this as a daily practice because it is such an important principle. And in his own Krishna consciousness, he derived a great deal of inspiration from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment on that particular verse. What verse am I referring to? Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana ityadi. So that kind of fixed, focused mind, chitta-ikagra, it's called, to have one point of focus for the mind, it actually belongs in the lotus feet of the spiritual master. So this is maybe for the Sri Vaishnavas, for Veera Raghavacharya, who's writing this, maybe it means concentration in meditation on the Supreme Lord Vishnu. The yogis, as we know, dhyanavastita tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yogina. The person whom the yogis see within their hearts through concentration, that is Vishnu. So the Sri Vaishnavas tend to emphasize meditation on the form of the Lord in this way. And then finally we come to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Jeev Goswami is silent on this verse. He doesn't comment. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, Atma Samadhi means manaso bhavanaya, by fixing the mind in some particular devotional mood. And this seems to be what Srila Prabhupada has adopted for his own translation. Srila Prabhupada says, Atma Samadhina means Atma of the mind, Samadhina by meditation, by fixing the mind in meditation on our service to Krishna, in meditation on some particular rasa, some particular bhava that we experience. We know from Rupa Goswami, there are so many bhavas in devotional service. Bhava means a mood or an experience, feeling. So, mano bhavanaya, by fixing the mind in this way. So then, the next half of the verse, na abhinandati lokoyam. You are not very popular in this world. You're not very, you're not considered to be very pleasing. Na abhinandati, in this world, by the people of this world. Loka means planet. Loka also means society, population. Tvam abhadram asammatam. And finally, he says, Tvam abhadram asammatam. You are not acceptable. Sammata means something that everybody agrees about. Mata means an opinion. Sammata means consensus. So here the consensus is that you are abhadra. You are inauspicious. And who is it? I think it is also Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur who says here this means bhojayatam asammatam. You are unacceptable for the purpose of enjoyment. So the word bhadra is also something we can dilate on for a few minutes. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita we find a very nice couplet. It says, dvaite bhadra bhadra gyan shab mono dharma. In this material world, in the world of duality, conceptions of auspicious and inauspiciousness, they're not really, they're all mental concoctions, monodharma, inventions of the mind, or proclivities of the mind only. They don't really have any real value. And he says, e bhalo, e mando, e shabram. Somebody thinks this is good, this is bad, but all of it is illusion. All of it is a mistake. So even here, the Yavanaraja is saying that people in general consider you to be auspicious. In fact, from a Vaishnava perspective, from a self-realized perspective, there's really no such thing as auspicious and inauspicious. And that's the whole point of his engaging the daughter of time in this way. For those who are absorbed in sense gratification, certainly old age is an impediment. I know this very from first-hand experience because I'm taking care of my elderly mother at this time. And all the faculties are starting to disintegrate. If you go to visit a hospital, it's actually a very enlightening experience sometimes. You can see all different people in the ward, especially if you go to the ICU. They're all in various stages of psychophysical disintegration. Everything is coming apart. The synapses are misfiring. You can't think straight. You can't remember anything. My mother's memory is totally shot. Judgment is also not there. The body doesn't work the way it used to work. You can just to do simple things become a big task. This is all coming to us. Every single one of us is going to get this unless we're killed before that, unnaturally. So these are some things to think about. This is the nature of Pavarga. Srila Prabhupada many times explained this world is called Pavarga. In the Sanskrit alphabet, you have different vargas, different lines. So there's kavarga, there's chavarga, there's tavarga, tavarga, and finally pavarga, labials we say, things that are sounds that are produced with the lips, phonemes that are produced with the lips. Pa pa ba ba ma. So pa stands for parishrama. You have to work hard, and as long as you have your psychophysical faculties together, we are all very inspired to work hard in this world. How hard do we work? That's the next letter. Tha. What does pas stand for? Anybody know? Huh? Tena. You're working so hard that you're foaming at the mouth. When you have to negotiate the freeways at rush hour, it's such a stressful experience. This is like foaming at the mouth. Or you have to work so hard to get the position that you aspire for, and there's so much... So we're working hard, so hard that we're foaming at the mouth. Then comes ba. What does ba stand for? Sorry? Yeah, Srila Prabhupada used to say byartha. It's not really pure Sanskrit, it's Bengali Sanskrit. It's all for naught, ultimately. Why? Because ba. You're surrounded by fear at every step. Bhayam dvitiya abhinivesha syat. If you enter into this consciousness, what consciousness? Ishat atetasya viparya yosmriti, forgetfulness as a result of willfully turning the attention away from God. Ishat apeta, apaita, having gone away from God. Ishat apetasya viparya yosmriti. The natural result is that he forgets his Krishna consciousness or her Krishna consciousness. When we forget our Krishna consciousness, we have to replace it with something. So what do we replace it with? This process of pavarga. And characteristic of this process of pavarga is you have to have bha. Bhayam dvitiya abhinivesha syat. It's produced as a result of perceiving anything non-Krishna. Anything second, dvitiya. bhayad-dvitiyabhinivesitasyat. As a result of getting into that mentality, we have as our constant companion fear. And it makes everything, like Srila Prabhupada used to say, it's like this material world is, there is some pleasure here. It's like sweet rice, but there's sand in the sweet rice. Nobody likes that. So this material world is like that. So bha, 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 and finally ma. What does ma stand for? Mrityu. The whole process is crowned with death at the end. What is it for? What is the point? So, and prior to death, we meet with Kalakanya. I'll just to give you a little bit of a preview. Kalakanya was given to all those persons who are absorbed in fruitive activity. She goes to them. Just as this, let's put this in context. This story is an analogy. Analogy, you can say, what's the word I'm thinking of? Not an analogy, but allegory. Yeah, allegory. It's an interesting point. In academic circles, they say that it was the Sufis who introduced the genre of allegory to Indian literature. They have not read Srimad Bhagavatam. It's quite clear that this is an allegory. And Srimad Bhagavatam is not less than 9th century. And we say it's 5,000 years old. But even by academic reckoning, it's 9th century, which is before the Sufis were very prevalent. So they have their speculations. They go on and on. We don't care for them. But the idea is here that Kalakanya Jara, old age, and the invalidity that characterizes old age, that frustrates all of our material ambitions, this is given to those who embrace her, to those who will accept her. And those are the persons who have turned away from Krishna, Ishada Petas. They have to embrace this wife, old age, and everything becomes very difficult. And then in the end, they don't get the supreme destination. And that's the point of this allegory. That, remember, we were talking about the Prachetas, the sons of Prachin and Parishad. They were all executing austerities because they met Lord Shiva. And because of that good association, they were enlightened by his description of the Rudra Gita, the song chanted by Lord Shiva. And he advised them, you remember these instructions, always sing these instructions. The verses of Srimad Bhagavatam are so beautiful. They can be sung musically. It's possible. And we should do this. So Rudra Gita is there, and Prachetas were all enlightened by that process, enlivened. But Narad Muni, their guru, he thought of their poor father. He's so merciful. He's not only delivering his disciples, but their parents also. Just as we hope that Srila Prabhupada can deliver our parents as well. So, Prachina Parishat was completely absorbed in fruitive activities while his sons were completely absorbed in austerities. These are two poles of material existence. One side is Karma Marg, the other side is Jnana Marg. Both of them are non-eternal. Both of them are extrinsic, the superfluous to the self. So Narad Muni came and he was preaching to Prachina Parishat, and by way of indicating Prachina Parishat's own position, being completely absorbed in the illusory activities of fruitive work and the sufferings that ensue from that work, and the fact that that work distracts one and cheats one out of the supreme goal of life, which is self-realization, he's narrating this story of King Puranjana. And I won't go into all the details, you've heard it before. But here is, we're nearing the end of the story, and finally we have the conclusion, which is that old age finally comes and takes away everything. As Shakespeare very rightly put it, time and tide wait for no man. Isn't it Shakespeare? I think so. Whoever wrote it, Prabhupada quotes him a lot in that way. So this is the warning to not only King Prachina Parihisa, but all the rest of us as well. Because we're not, every single day is ticking away. As Mahaprabhu or Bhaktivinoda Thakur sang in that song, Arunodaya Kirtam, that every day that passes without worshipping Yashoda Sutta, then it's gone and you can't do anything with it. What is that in the second canto, is it? What verse? Ayur harati vai pungsam udyannastam chayannasau. Every single rising and setting of the sun takes away one day, and it cannot be gained back. Shankaracharya also very nicely he described, Kala kridati gachati ayu. Every day that dawn is coming, and then dusk is also coming, winter is coming, then summer again comes, day comes, night comes. It's going on and on and on, and it's cyclic. It's going on forever, this cycle. But kala kridati, time is the one who plays with all of us. And gachati ayu, life eventually departs. Tadapi namunchati asha vayu. But even then, he says, a person doesn't give up his bundle of hopes for advancement in this, the assumption, the postulation that I can stay here and enjoy in this material world forever. Those are the people who have to marry this girl, Kalakanya. And they become just as entangled as Puranjana became. How many children did Puranjana have? Anybody remember? Over 1,000. 1,100. And each of those kids had so many kids. And he became entangled, and all the kids started invading his assets. That happens also. Shankaracharya also says that even a rich man in this world, when he nears death, he begins to fear even his own sons. King Puranjan was feeling like this. He was being eaten alive. There's one famous Chinese poet. His name is Lu Xun. And amongst the nationalists claim him, and also the communists claim him. He was about maybe 70, 80 years ago. So he wrote a very famous book in which he described how everywhere I go, I see people who are looking at me with eyes to eat me. Anybody have that experience sometimes? We get a sense, you know, it's just sometimes we see people, they look a little bit like they show their real form, their 10-armed forms. Becomes very disconcerting. Because that's the fact of the matter. Remember, this Puranjana's wife, what were her characteristics? Her physical characteristics that were very attractive to King Puranjana's mind? She had two very full breasts, and she was trying to cover them. What do those breasts represent? Anybody remember this? Raga and dvesha, attachment and envy. And the materialistic association of whatever sort, male, female, human, non-human, whatever, it's trying to cover these things, trying to pretend like they're not there, like she's our friend or our beloved wife. This is the maya. This is the trickery. So Puranjana was cheated, and similarly, all of us will be cheated to the extent that we follow his path. That's why we have these examples here. There's a very nice shloka in the 11th canto. Shruti pratyaksham aiti hyam anumanam chatushtayam. Krishna says to Uddhava that there are four evidences, four pramanas. Pramana means evidence. And generally we hear Srila Prabhupada emphasize three of them. But while discussing the perfection of life and the perfection of spiritual advancement, Lord Krishna mentions four of them. We know Shruti is one of them. That's called Shabda Pramana. We know that Pratyaksha, sense perception, that's another one. We also know Anuman means guesswork, hypothesis. But what's the fourth one? Anybody know? Aitihyam. Aitihyam means itihasa, history, tradition, in other words. So we can learn a lot from this. And here we have these histories in the Bhagavatam and other sources, other Vedic literatures, just to show us the kinds of circumstances that we can eventually expect to find ourselves in. If we're not in this circumstance already, with this particular allegory, all of us are in exactly the same position as Maharaj Puranjana. All of us. We're all embodied in the same city that he was living in. The very same city. And we're all being taken for a ride, so to speak, by the illusory energy in the same ways that he has been, that he was. So all these itihasas, all these traditional narratives are there for us. So whatever is not obvious to sense perception, whatever you can't figure out by speculating, whatever is not there in the Shastra or is not clear in the Shastra, then you can turn to the fourth one, which is itihasa, aitihya. So you can understand, how did those who went before me, how did they deal with this circumstance? And emulate their behavior. This is the idea. So, these are some things we can think about this short verse with a short purport. There's just a few more left in the chapter. I don't know what time we should end.
You can take questions.
If anybody have any questions or comments? Yes, through to Karma Puru.
So in your talk, you mentioned something, but you didn't elaborate it on it very much. You said this Kalakanya marriage is for those who are engaged in fruitive activities. So does that imply if you're not engaged in fruitive activities, the marriage doesn't take place?
Well, everyone has to die. You know, jata sihi dhruvam mrityur dhruvam janma mrtasya. Anyone who has a material body is going to have to die. Not everyone who is embodied is a karmi. Some people are jnanis, very rare, but there are a few. And those people, they may be liberated if they're very fortunate and if they're not offensive. But those two conditions have to be met. They have to avoid offenses to the Vaishnavas, and they also have to be fortunate enough to receive good association from the Vaishnavas. Otherwise, their liberation is going to be a temporary experience. And most probably, they will fall into the degraded activities. Is that okay? Yeah, or Sid Prabhu?
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very enlivening and enlightening class. I think we could expand that just a little more in that externally, it seems that everybody marries Kalakanya. But the proof is that when you're leaving this world, if there's no lamentation, there's no fear, and there's attachment to Krishna, because, you know, sometimes people die with seemingly no fear. Like in the old cowboy movies, you see them, the cowboys, they die, they get shot, they just lie down, and, you know, and they just die, and then no big production. Yeah. But that's not what we mean when we say no fear, because they're going to become something horrible in their next life. But if you are attached to Krishna, and if you show that, like Madhavendra Puri, like Srila Prabhupada, the attachment to the Supreme Lord at the time of death, which produces then no fear, really no fear. That shows that you were not married to Kalakanya.
Very good point. This is the idea here, that he is engaging, the Yavanaraj is engaging Kalakanya. He didn't marry her himself. He was a devotee. And he took Narad Muni's instructions very seriously, as in the spirit of service to Narad Muni. He was very smart, although he was a Yavana. Anyway, we'll see what happens. But He passed the onus to someone else. And he very wisely avoided it. But his purpose was to frustrate the plans of those who otherwise would remain in material existence forever. If there weren't this principle of decay and frustration and misery in material existence, who would have any impetus to get out? I had a very enlightening experience once in South India. There's a small village near Udupi called Mudbidri. It's actually a Jain place, mainly, but there are some nice devotees living there also. So there's one Venkataraman temple, Venkatesh temple. And all the local Brahmins are living nearby, just like we have in our ISKCON temples. And they're all coming every morning and doing very nice puja for Lord Vishnu, their madhvas, mainly. And all of them know Sanskrit, all of them have pious families, all of them are very pure in their habits, very sattvic, just like ISKCON devotees. And the result is that they have no desire to go back to Godhead. Because everything is perfect. The weather's great, the prasadam is wonderful, all the people are very pious, there's no agitation. Sometimes it's a little good to have this suffering. Just like here in the West, or in the modern world in general, cities especially, it's a little good to have this pungent element there because it gives us some impetus to get out of here, to remind us that it's not our real home. This deeply ingrained tendency for fruitive activities is so profound an influence and so imperceptible an influence in our psychology that we don't even consider its existence. We don't realize how strong we have this determination to try and enjoy apart from Krishna until we start to try to give it up. Sometimes people have this question, therefore. I see that You know, people on the outside, they look so happy, and sometimes the devotees are a little bit in anxiety. Because the devotees have declared war. It's not easy. Everybody else has surrendered. There's no conflict. For now, they've surrendered. But the devotees, this is the point. He has engaged this girl in this way just to emphasize the necessity of taking to devotional service. But it goes without saying in this particular passage that those who have taken to devotional service, they don't have to suffer like this. They're free from this whole process, which is a very good point. Thank you.
Thank you for a nice class. It appears that we're reading this allegorical story. We're hearing it like for the last month now. And although we hear all the negativity, still, how is it that the conditioned soul can't grasp this? Because, you know, the time factor is moving and we're all engaging, but we don't know how to stop because, you know, even after we walk out of this class, we still have to do so many things throughout the day. Mm. You can't stop. So I think this is the mystery. Mm. The mystery is how is it even as devotees we can walk out this door and just forget about it? It's literally, you know, you just kind of like, you have to work, you have to eat, you have to sleep. These things you have to do. Why is it that we walk out this door and forget about what you just said, what we just heard in Bhagavatam, and dive right into, you know, eating and got to go to work. I got to do this, got to do that.
Hmm. Yeah, one nice, intelligent devotee from Mexico told me, Teflon en la mente. Nothing sticks. That's why we have this Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. We have to do it every single day. Actually, Nityam means eternal. Think about it. The word Nitya, we all know, it means eternal. But at least it means regularly. At least daily, we have to hear it again and again and again because that is simply the nature. We reflect, our subtle body, that is to say, reflects whatever goes into it. And there is stimuli being pushed into our 10 organic senses 24/7. Even at night, I was telling one devotee yesterday, even you're trying to sleep, but, you know, when these nishacharas come driving down Watsika Avenue late at night with their boom, 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 this noise, the effect is there. This is all various stages of sangha. Sangat sanjayate kama. And whatever association you accept, you're going to desire that. So we have to have some. Prabhupada wrote an old article in old Back to Godhead in the 1940s. There must be some counterblast. Prabhupada said. So that is this Sankirtan process and the hearing of the Bhagavatam in this morning program in particular and preaching. That is what is necessary to do because it is the nature of the embodied soul that he will, like a sponge, will suck up whatever is in the proximity immediately. So put yourself into the proximity of Krishna and his devotees. That is the process. And for the non-devotees, the reason that they can ignore these truths is because they don't hear them. We haven't gone out and told them yet. It's our responsibility. So for ourselves, it's the same process. If we find that we're asleep to these realities, it's probably because we're not practicing tivra bhakti. Tivra means intense. Tivrena bhakti yogina, Bhagavatam says. Very intensely, we have to follow these programs that Prabhupada set up. And similarly, if the karmis cannot recognize, it's because they have not been given this process yet. So that's our duty. There was a few other questions, I think. Or maybe I answered them. No? Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.